And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, September 3rd, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just great. Thank you very much.
Me too, actually. Me too.
You doing good also?
I'm doing well. I just sitting here thinking about, we got 2 months to the day to see what happens.
Hard 2 months to the day. Oh, I'm thinking, what?
Yeah, 2 months to the day.
We'll 2 months to the day.
How quickly that's going to go by.
Well, you know, it's just, I mean, I understand why he said what he did and so forth. But, I mean, it is true how, I mean, when you think about how other people look to our president, and, you know, and he's telling that people should vote twice and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But Butch, it doesn't help him.
No, it doesn't. And then Barr said he wasn't sure it was illegal.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I don't understand.
The only thing I can figure is that they're enjoying causing division and confusion and chaos. That's the only thing I can figure. Why else would they say that?
I know. You know? And if that's the case, you know, if there's something wrong with what's the problem, fix the stupid problem.
Exactly.
You know?
I agree.
I just don't get it. I mean, I do. And you're right. It's all about division. They want this. They want this chaos. Both sides. Both sides. So get used to it.
Both sides are stirring up strife and hatred unbelievably in this country. Now, we're talking about two people running for president, Melody. They're acting worse than six-year-olds fighting on a playground.
I know.
It's just unbelievable. This is what our country's come to.
I know. And I don't have anything to say.
There's nothing really you can say, because I'm watching it happen. And I'm thinking, you and I are well over halfway through our lives, but we got children, grandchildren are going to be left here behind when we're gone, if the world goes on long enough. What are they going to face?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
If we have Trump and Biden at this election, the last election we had Trump and Hillary, can you even imagine who's going to be there in 4 years?
If we're here 4 years from now, I have no idea. I don't know.
I mean, how much worse can we get?
That's a scary question. Because I'm sure we will, but I just don't know how we can do it. You know, it looks like after a while you get the bottom of the barrel and you have to stop. But I'm afraid this isn't the bottom of it.
No.
That worries me again. For our children and grandchildren, that worries me very much.
Yeah. But you know, the grandchildren are being raised in this world, Butch. They don't understand what they've lost. We do.
No, they do not.
But they won't. They embrace the world that is being given to them. Not given to them, but...
They inherit it.
But by design.
Yeah, sure. But and I'm going to say this. I don't like to say it. It'll probably make a lot of people mad. It doesn't even think about it. A lot of this happened on my watch.
Yeah.
A lot of it happened on my dad's watch and my grandpa's watch.
Yep.
My grandpa's life, Roosevelt was there. And look what they allowed happen then, because it sounded good. It was socialism, and no one cared.
They took a crisis, and look what they did.
Sure they
did. They took the Depression, yep.
And they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
So nothing's been learned from history. It's just the way it is. There was a time when people would have rebelled over something as absurd as an income tax. But that is, that's been in force for so long, no one remembers when it wasn't, obviously. They would have rebelled over that. They would have rebelled over murdering unborn babies. Yeah. Not any longer. Now the latest trend in fashion is men wearing little girls' dresses. That's what's happened to the country under our watch.
Yep.
Now, can I give it? I know you want to do Marcus. Can do Marcus. I want to share a little bit of good news, if you don't mind.
Do I have a choice?
Well, you're the boss, I reckon.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You're female. You got to be the boss.
Oh, yeah. I'll listen to this sexist remarks. Go ahead. Watch it. I'm going to get you for
all
right. Go ahead.
I'll do my best. Okay. Good news is, now this, folks, this is for real. This is out of Needlands, Australia. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I thought this is phenomenal. Honeybee venom contains a chemical that kills breast cancer cells in minutes. The study shows this, okay? Dr. Sierra Duffy says honeybee venom destroyed multiple types of breast cancer, even the hard-to-treat triple-negative variety. Her study in the journal NPJ Precision Oncology finds that venom not only eradicates these cancers, it also breaks up a cancerous cell's ability to reproduce. It also contains a compound called mitotin, which researchers say helps this natural remedy stop the disease with remarkable speed. Isn't that good news?
It's fabulous.
I mean, really. And they said that the mitotin can completely destroy cancer cell membranes within 60 minutes. In just 20 minutes, mitotin breaks down the chemical message that breast cancer cells transmits to trigger both cell growth and cell division. If this goes through and it really works, did I already talk about adding it to treatments like chemotherapy? Adding it to the treatments. So, and this is phenomenal news, folks. This is something, again, our God provided us a way of curing something. We just had to find it. But I want to share that. I thought it was good news.
Well, when you really think about it, Butch, I mean, think of the honey.
Oh, yes.
I mean, what other product, what other food group doesn't spoil?
That's true.
I mean, come on. It doesn't
it's
spoil.
Natural. It's all natural.
It's all natural. It will not go bad. Now, yes, you have to make sure you have the lid on. You don't add any, you know, don't make sure no water or moisture. And, you know, yeah, but it will not go bad.
And if it's not tampered with, and it's raw honey, it's full of all kinds of supplements that your body needs.
Yep.
So that's why when God said in the promised land, it would flow of milk and honey. Raw milk, whole milk, and honey are two of the best foods you can have.
Yeah, but raw milk will go bad.
It will. But I'm saying, but as far as drinking it and being good for you, raw milk and honey are a good combination as far as minerals and all matter of things that your body needs to even digest food.
Yeah, I love raw milk.
I do too. But, I get it here. I love it.
So I understand how the bee, and I know I've had, I haven't had many, and it's been a while since I spoke with them, where they would use the sting of a bee to help with their asthma.
Yep, and even arthritis.
And arthritis. Yeah.
So our God's a good God. He give us a way to take care of things if we just pay attention.
Yeah. So that is good news, and.
Thanks for sharing. I appreciate it.
No, I did see that article, and I thought it was important, too. So I'm glad you shared it. So let me go ahead and share what the market prices did today. We had some pressure on gold today. Currently down $11.40 in the New York spot price after market, $1,932. Silver's down 84 cents at $26.70. Platinum was down 17 at $894. Palladium was up 53 at 2,332. We have the USDX today was stronger by 0.12 at 92.76. Crude oil was down 17 cents at 41.34. And the paper markets today. You have the Dow was down close to 1,000 points. I don't know if any point in time if it went over. It was over 900 for sure. Right now it's down 807, 28,292. The NASDAQ at one point in time, it's still down 4.96, but it was over 5%. Right now, the NASDAQ is down 598 points at 11,458. The S&P is down 125 at 3,455. 10-year yield still holding around that 0.62% level. Euro was stronger today. You know, London was down 1.5%, but none of the Asian or foreign markets did quite what our markets did today. So it's now we've been talking about this is the worst. The Dow on the NASDAQ was they plummeted in the worst day since June. June seems so long ago. So, you know, stocks erased all of their gains after the huge bout of exuberance on Wednesday. We had all of the markets, the NASDAQ had hit another record high. And let me turn this off so you don't hear that music. So I don't know, other than what we've been talking about, you know, the fundamentals, it doesn't seem like there was any single driver for weakness. It could have been a follow-over from yesterday's ADP job report. Tomorrow, the government's job report comes out, so not sure if there was a little whisperings of what it's going to be. Maybe they had to drop the markets today in order to raise them tomorrow going into the weekend. So, you know, there are some things. I mean, you know, maybe the U.S.-China relations, maybe that's becoming a little more difficult. Maybe investors are just moving their money out of tech. I mean, you know, hey, when things hit record high, what do? You take your profits and go someplace else, and they should be going into gold. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. But it was kind of an interesting day because I didn't expect to see almost a 1,000-point drop in the Dow today and over a 5% drop in the NASDAQ today. Again, there didn't seem to be any one single driver. But hey, you know, we've been talking about all the obvious reasons that you should expect to see these markets drop. They shouldn't be here to begin with. And the only thing that powered them to these higher levels is government money, Federal Reserve money, corporate buybacks. I mean, no real fundamentals. You have the global economy shut down for how long? And that's not going to play any impact. We have an election year that's basically crumbling. This is the United States of America. And we don't know how to do an election. It's like a third world country election. I mean, come on. Who would have confidence in this nation? Who would have confidence in our dollar? You know, so, you know, all of these reasons are the reasons why it's absurd, why the markets are at where they are. But inflation does a lot of different things in different markets, too. They have everything so screwed up, you don't know what really is affecting the markets and what the real fundamentals are on the paper markets anymore. It's a Ponzi scheme anymore. It's a gambling casino. Heck, if you go to Las Vegas, at least you get a drink. You know, what does Wall Street give you? You know, thank you. Thank you for giving me your money. And then what's worse is government is in on it. So it's just disgusting, Butch. And yet, people, it's just disgusting and it's shameful. And this is our country.
Yeah, Mildy, I said this many times. I think that our generation got to see some of the best of this country, at least for a few years. Not long, but a few years. And look what's happened just in the last... Let's look back at this 50 years of what's happened. It's just a sad, sad situation. I remember when girls were girls and boys were boys, and they didn't mind being that way. You know, neighbors didn't have to lock the doors, and we did. We maybe weren't rich, but we had jobs. We could take care of ourselves. You know, these things, this all changed our lifetime.
I mean, it certainly has. And, you know, I mean, I can understand. It's just frustrating. You know, it's kind of like seeing, you know, it's like seeing the train wreck and there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, you see it coming. It looks like it's coming in slow motion.
Yeah.
You're telling people, please, 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 please pay attention.
Get out of the way.
Yeah, but they're all sitting on the track. Yeah. You know? I know.
It's never hit in. It's always stopped before.
It's always. And you know, I've been preaching well over 40 years now. On the radio going on 30 years. Can you believe that? And if it weren't for the grace that God gives me and the joy I have in Him, in Christ, I'd give up a long time ago. Because I never take a salary out of the ministry. Now, this is not bragging on me. It's just what it is. I never take a salary from the ministry. What comes in donations goes in donations. That's why I pay the bills. I never take a salary, and I don't care. I didn't do it for the salary. If I did, I wouldn't have been on the radio this long. But I watched 30 years on the radio, over 40 years preaching and pastoring. I've still watched the nation degenerate, disintegrate into chaos. And no matter of warning from myself and many other good preachers and godly men and women has stopped it. It may have slowed down a bit, but we haven't stopped it. So now we're going to see, the Bible says in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, that there'll be a famine in the land for the word of God. And then, so there'll be a famine in the land for he'll break the staff of bread. Well, that's certainly happening in America now. We'll discuss that more in a minute. Anyway, I know we've been kind of doom and gloom this first segment, but it's the truth. This, folks, this is not doom and gloom. These are watchmen on the wall telling you, like Ezekiel 33 told us to, the enemy is at the gates, the enemy is inside the walls. Prepare yourself. That's all we're trying to get you to do, is prepare yourself. And as Pastor Dana will share with you this week in Bible study, via Zoom, the Lord told him in his dream to brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself. Prepare yourself for taking a hit because this is coming on this land. Melody's trying to get you to understand finances. I'm trying to understand maybe spiritual sides of it. But if you don't brace yourself in every way possible, you're going to be taken hard down hard. And I used to play some football when I was younger. It didn't hurt too easy. And when you're blindsided, when you see a tackle coming, you can kind of brace yourself for it. When you don't see it coming, it hurts. That's what God's trying to tell us. It's coming.
Now, I saw a headline today about, would the United States military intervene in the election results?
I saw that, yes.
And just reading the headline, it's like, this is where we are? Do you mean there's actually conversations? Even if it's on the other side thinking that there's a possibility that for whatever reason, I mean, for any statement, and it just, this is where we're at.
Yes, it is.
And well, we're heading into the break, and we'll pick up when we come back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I'm a bad whistler. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I remember one time we were silly at Christmas time when we had a contest where I would whistle and they had to guess the song I was whistling. They were Christmas songs. It was kind of fun. And it was a contest. I haven't had a contest in a long time. Certainly it's not going to be a whistling contest, but you know, maybe we need some fun. Maybe we need some some happiness.
That's exactly why I try to keep a sense of humor. And I haven't told jokes on the radio for a long time because we got so much other stuff to talk about. But that's why I try to keep a light, at least somewhat lighthearted attitude, because we're in serious trouble. But that doesn't mean that we can't have a smile once in a while. The Bible says a merry heart works good like a medicine. So I try to think on good things when I can. That's what the Philippians told us to do, think on good things. Although if you think on this nation and the world, there's not much good to think about other than nature itself. It's kind of pretty yet.
Yeah,
go ahead. I'll shut up now.
No, that's fine. You know, but heading into the break, we were talking about where the United States military would intervene in the election results. And it's just, even people, I don't care who they are. I mean, this came when General Mark Milley, he's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, had to reaffirm for Congress that there would be no role for the United States military in the election this year. For any other presidency, such a statement would be regarded as entirely unnecessary, but they think in this administration, which, where anything goes, it was absolutely critical. Well, you know, but doesn't this administration appoint the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking you, Butch.
There was an exchange. I don't know that.
There was an exchange during questions for the record posed by two members of the House Armed Service Committees, and most likely they are Democrats. But still, I mean, do they really think that President Trump wouldn't leave?
Well, according to what Clinton says, said Trump could probably sandbag himself around the White House, and Hillary has told Biden, don't you walk away. Even if they say you lose, you keep standing there. Don't you dare give in. If they say you lost, don't quit. So no matter who wins, Hillary said don't concede the election. No matter what the results are, don't concede the election. And Clinton said, well, Trump will place tax sandbags around the White House. Now I'm not making this up. Look, this is for real. This is in by Paul Bedard, Washington Secrets columnist, said this. So I don't know. It is looking good, and I don't see a peaceful transition, Melody. I really don't. But even if there were a peaceful transition, all hell's still going to break loose because people going to be upset either side wins.
Either side's going to win. I mean, there's that much hatred.
Yes,
yeah,
that's right.
There's that much hatred for both sides. It's really kind of, it's frightening. And So I just want to make one more comment about the stock market, where the stock market was down over 800 points. And again, everybody knows that it's going to crash. Markets are facing a potential Minsky moment collapse. That's what the strategists believe. The Minsky moment was named after the economist Hyman Minsky. And of course, that just refers to a sudden market collapse following an unsustainable bull run. This bull run is not sustainable. So this bull run was fueled by easy credit, you know, monetary stimulus from the government, from Federal Reserve, from central banks around the world. So, yeah, we are going to have a Minsky moment. And we'll just have to see when it is. September, I believe, is supposed to be the most volatile month in stocks. Even though some of your biggest crashes happened in October, September is usually more volatile. So they had their one-day moments in October. But so what else? Let's go on to something else.
Yep.
Scoot on.
You're saying a lot there. It may be this time, and I hope I'm wrong, when it starts coming down this time, I don't think it's going to turn around nearly as fast. I really don't. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I mean, U.S. trade deficit surged in July to the highest in 12 years. I mean, it hadn't been this low since 2008. It was up almost 19% from June. In June, the deficit was $53.5 billion deficit then. So the trade deficit is there. And Melody, we're not producing near as many goods as we were. So it's going to be a deficit. We're not shipping much out of here right now. To find building materials now in this area is getting very hard to do. To find paneling for a home, enough to do a house, is actually, my brother's trying to do that. He's having a hard time finding enough paneling to do a house he wants to do. It's not a big house. It's 30 by 30. So think about that. You can't buy appliances. So you can't buy lumber. So that's not good.
Wow.
And this article here by Egan von Griesers. I thought this was interesting. Inflation, Dow 50,000, gold 50,000. This is they said the buzzword of central bank chiefs at Jackson Hole was inflation. The Fed to tolerate higher inflation, says Powell. ECB to inject more monetary stimulus to ensure inflation, says ECB chief economist. Bank of England has ample firepower to support UK economy and not tighten monetary policy until inflation return, says governor of BOE. So here we have the chiefs of three of the mightiest central banks in the world speaking with one voice and telling the world that the solution to the world's financial woes is inflation. Can you believe this? Kuroda, the governor of Bank of Japan, would have said the same since they have been trying to get inflation above 1% for almost 30 years. All these chiefs are singing from the same hymn sheet. Their language is veiled with which is normal central bank speak. This is not a question of tolerating high inflation. Inflation is already here, but the way it is conveniently measured hasn't yet shown up in prices. But the central bank, CB, heads now know what is next. It is inevitable that 30% or $6 trillion increase in CBSS this year will have a major inflationary effect. Anyone following Austrian economics would have known this for quite some time, since in Austrian terms, the proper definition of inflation is increase in money supply. No doubt. What is absolutely clear is that the CBs around the world are not just turning on the money spigots, but they have had to resort to Bernanke's old catchphrase of helicopter money. The $6 trillion CB money so far are just a few initial specks in the ether. The next phrase will be see massive dark clouds of money covering the sky. We will see inflation that the West hasn't seen since the 1970s. Eventually, it will turn to hyperinflation. The Fed will naturally lead the exercise as the biggest CB of them and also with the biggest vested interest. And President Trump will use all his might to run these printing presses ever faster in order to enhance his chances of being reelected. Now, Melody, re-election is 2 months away. So this is going to take place between now and election, if this happens. That's not very much time, is it?
No, it isn't. And, I mean, again, I've said this time and time again. I don't know. At least our listeners shouldn't be shocked or surprised because we say the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Government wants inflation. Government needs inflation. He's absolutely correct. It has funneled through in prices. It's just the way they project their numbers. I mean, they just flat out lie. You take out energy, you take out food, and you adjust a little bit of this, you adjust a little bit of that. It's truly, I mean, they've done an incredible job, really.
They have, yes. But when you take out food and energy prices, though, you take out the two worst offenders, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, Bob Chapman always used to say, and I agreed with him, that's what they exported our inflation. They adjusted everything to keep the inflation numbers low. They exported our inflation to China. That was Jobs. So they could sell us back the cheap trinkets we buy.
That's it.
It's kept that's it. We, I mean, that's a big part of it. When you have 70% of our economy that's based on spending, consuming, you need low prices. And everybody's gotten used to it. People don't want to... Do you think people really want to pay... You know, you can buy a $300 TV. You think they're going to go back to paying $1,000 or $1,500? Maybe. I don't know. But no, they exported our inflation.
That's right. And took away the jobs by doing it.
Took away the jobs.
Yep.
Took away the income.
And
why do you,
you know,
think our wages aren't rising?
That's exactly right. And this next article out of Reuters says a lot about this too. It said U.S. private payrolls miss expectations, point to slowing labor market recovery. You and I have been saying this for a long time, especially you. It hasn't come back like everybody thought it would. There was no V-shaped bounce back. There wasn't. U.S. private employers hired fewer workers than expected for a second straight month in August, suggesting that the labor market recovery was slowing as the COVID-19 pandemic drags and government monies to support workers and employers dries up. Large businesses accounting for the bulk of the job gains shown in the ADP National Employment Report on Wednesday, with small enterprises posting a modest increase. A $600 weekly unemployment supplement expired on July 31st, while a program that gives businesses loans that can be partially forgiven if used for employer pay has also lapsed. The recovery in jobs lost in this pandemic recession was always a weak one, said Chris Rupke, chief economist at MUFG in New York. But for a second month in a row, it is looking like the jobs are not going to come back unless there's more stimulus. Now listen to this. Unless there's more stimulus from Washington to bolster economic demand and keep business activity and consumer spending growing. The only way they can get jobs is give companies to hire, money to hire somebody. Melly, that is absolutely insane. I mean, this is insane. And 200,000 companies, small businesses, are not coming back. No. They're out. They're done. They're finished. And they won't give more money to companies setting hard people back. How long will that last? Whose money is that? Oh, it's federal money. Nobody has to pay for that. That's just federal money. They just print it up and give it to us. There's no taxes on that. There's no inflation on that. Are we that stupid? And this is both the chief economist of the MUFG in New York saying this. These are the ones who make financial decisions for a country.
And they get paid the big bucks.
I really try to stay calm, but it gets my blood pressure up. It does.
I know, it really is amazing. And it's... I don't know. I was talking to someone about, there was reading someplace where we were going to have a K recovery. You know, with a K, the line goes down, and then you have the one line going up. That would be the one percenters. You know, they'd get even. The wealthy would get more, and then the middle class would go down. You know, forming the K, and it's like, well, that's already happened.
That's already happened. How about the rest of the K? Where's it go? Who's that going up on the upper side?
Well, that's what I mean. You have the drop, which is the line,
right,
straight line.
Right.
And
the upper line is
the wealthy, and then the lower line is the rest of us. You know, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. I mean, hey, I was told that when I was 2 years old.
It's even biblical.
You know, and that hasn't changed.
It isn't biblical. It's even biblical. But yeah, this too, changed. Now I want you to see if it makes sense to you. U.S. debt is set to exceed size of the economy next year, a first since World War II. I believe our budget has been way over our economy for a lot longer than just this year. U.S. debt has reached its highest level compared to the size of the economy since World War II and is projected to exceed it next year, the result of a giant fiscal response to the coronavirus pandemic. The Congressional Budget Office said Wednesday that federal debt held by the public, now let me repeat that, folks, we hold the federal debt. The government does not hold the federal debt. We hold the federal debt. It's projected to reach or exceed 100% of U.S. gross domestic product. Melody, did we have that many trillion dollars? I mean, we're $50 trillion in debt for sure. Did we make that much last year in gross domestic product?
Well,
but somebody, pulling our leg here.
Well, the fact of the matter is that whether they're pulling their legs and whether the numbers are accurate and so forth, the point is that's just, even if this is where we are today, and it's a lot worse than just getting over the GDP level. I mean, we have unfunded liabilities from the CBO office.
That's what I'm saying.
They're reporting up to $200 trillion.
We couldn't pay off the debt. I don't know how many years, 1,000 years, take pay off the debt. Even if we put every penny of GDP into it, it still won't pay it off.
Still not going to pay it off. We can't grow ourselves out of the problem.
No, we can't.
It's too far gone. I mean, that was a nice hope. Sounded good. Get you elected. But we can't. It's not good. The numbers don't equal what we can do. And sure, there's a lot of great ideas out there. But number one, those great ideas aren't going to get done because government doesn't want great ideas.
Government
great ideas
control.
Might be successful.
They want control.
They want control.
And they got it.
It's not going to change. I don't care what happens. It's not going to change. And hopefully, when we're in the rubble of things, maybe we'll have someone that can bring us out of the dusts. And somehow that it might resemble our old America. But I'm not counting on it.
I'm not either. I'm not. I wish I could say for sure what's going to happen.
And it's not like I don't want to fight for it, Butch.
Oh, I'll fight for it till I die. I will, because doing what's right for us, Mel, is not an option.
No.
That's what we're told to do. That's what our God says do. You do what's right every time. Whether you win or lose, as somebody once said, duty is ours, consequences are God's. So that's how it works out.
So, I mean, to some, you know, I believe, Butch, that we've seen our you know, we went, this country, being as young as it is, went through growing pains, and there was no one there to guide us on the right path. It has evolved. And I think this nation will continue to evolve when you and I are gone. And we have to look to the youth. And it's true, the Democrats, they've taken over the youth.
That was their agenda.
They're not dummies. You might think they're dummies, but they've been after the youth for a long time. Quietly, silently, slowly. We're heading into break. We'll be right back.
Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. And you know what, Butch, I know you and I get in trouble a lot because not a lot of our comments are always positive about President Trump. What I do know about President Trump is he really does have the support or the backbone of this country. I mean, when I drive around, I see more Trump flags, Trump signs, Trump this, Trump that. I don't see anything of Biden. Nothing. And I saw some Trump houses that had Trump flags on, and they moved them inside. I don't know why. I don't know if they, maybe the, whatever subdivision they were in, maybe they were told to do that or what. I don't know. But so I wouldn't be able to tell you right now who I thought, excuse me, would be winning any election today, but
no one. Mm-hmm. No one.
Yeah.
No matter who wins, America loses. So that's
yeah.
The way it is.
The way it is.
But you know, here's an article that really kind of touched my heart a bit too, and kind of sad. Workers keeping Americans fed are going hungry in the heartland. This is a really sad thing to have to read. Hunger is surging in the heart of the breadbasket, showing just how dire the problem has become during the pandemic. Sitting in a faded out Chevy sedan one July morning in southern Minnesota, she looked out at the corn stalks, lush green as far as the eye could see. A few miles to the east, a mill was pumping out flour. Just beyond it, a farm grew peppers, beans, and berries. To the north, there were dairies, one after another. South, a huge pork plant, grain elevators, poultry yards, cheese plants, all stood just as a short drive away. If one place just underscores how dire America's hunger problem had become during the pandemic, it is here. In the middle of the breadbasket that supplies food from coast to coast, the ranks of American fighting hunger are predicted to swell some 45% this year to more than 50 million. Traxler, her husband, and six children are among them. She has come to this spot, an empty school parking lot in the town of Mankato, to collect free boxes of food staples, milk and apples and carrots. Hundreds of Minnesotans waited in line ahead of her for hours. It's been hard, she said. We've had to dramatically change how we eat. Before the coronavirus shut down, the U.S. economy cost Traxler her job as a substitute teacher. She visited some community food shelves, but had never been to a large-scale food bank in her life. Now at age 41, she is a regular. This is one of the most jarring aspects of the hunger crisis. About one-third of those relying on these food shelves, large-scale emergency food distributions now, are doing so for the first time, according to Feeding America, the nation's largest hunger relief organization. In parts of Minnesota, that number is closer to 70%.
Wow.
From one-third to 70%, Melody. Hmm. That's America. That is so sad. It is. Any comments on that?
No, I mean, it's just another sign of, you know, where we're at today and, you know, what do we do to change it?
Well, you know, it used to be called free enterprise and real money.
Yeah.
That's what it was called. Farmers produced what they could, sold what they could. No one subsidized them. They took care of themselves.
Yeah.
They may not have gotten rich or huge, but they produced enough for them families and the rest of America. And then, of course, conglomerates got into it, involved in it. Big business got into it, bought small farmers out, and controlled the food supplies now. So that's what happened. American farmers, when I was growing up back in the 50s, I remember reading this in a history lesson or some lesson. I was probably in the sixth grade. American farmers fed the world. American farmers fed the world.
Now we import more than we export.
That is such a disgrace. That's been 50 years and we went this far down. Wow. And on another sign, a sad sign, a violent August in New York City. Shootings double and murders up 50% in New York City. 50% in one city alone. But I don't know how that can be, because in New York, guns are against the law.
Yeah, true. They're very strict.
Yeah, they are. I don't understand. How can that be? There's no guns allowed there. Criminals can't have guns there. Nobody can. And Como says that Trump better have an army to protect him if he comes to New York City. I'm not making this up. This is what he said.
I know. That is really... I can't believe that.
He said he better have an army if he thinks he's going to walk down the street in New York. New Yorkers don't want to have anything to do with him. The Democrats said all but threatening the commander-in-chief. But Como, who, like Trump, hails from Queens, wasn't done. He can't have enough bodyguards to walk through New York City. People don't want to have anything to do with him. Tell me that isn't hatred and division.
Yeah.
So tell me how that's going to be bode well if Trump's reelected. How's that going to go for New York City or Como and that? How's that going to go? Is he going to love him? Is he going to all of a sudden love him again or something? What's going to happen there?
You know what? I just can't believe that, you know, people aren't outraged at what this guy has said. I don't care if he likes Trump or not. You know, it's not any, I mean, even with Trump saying, you know, vote twice, president shouldn't say that. A governor shouldn't say what he said. Period. I don't care how much you dislike somebody.
There was a time in America, well, even in common society, you show respect for people, at least for the office. You left like the guy in the office, so to speak, but you show respect for the office. He didn't say these kind of things, this crude and rude, and basically threaten their lives. You didn't do that. That wasn't acceptable. But it is today.
Yeah. I mean, Cuomo tried to walk it back, you know, after he saw that he was kind of getting a little bit of heat and so forth. But now, once you say it, you can't walk it back. Not when you're a governor. Not when you're a president. Not when you're a mayor. You know.
When you let it come out of your mouth, you cannot recall it. It's out. It's out. Yeah. But again, we're talking about people in positions of leadership. We're talking about a couple drunks on the street. That's bad. We're talking about governors. We're talking about mayors and presidents, senators, congressmen. I mean, Pelosi said that she was coming for the ones who voted for Trump. What is this? Is that a direct threat? Are you just supposed to step back and smile about it and think, boy, that's entertaining? Or what? How are you supposed to handle that? I don't know. But I do know this. As Kenosha, Minneapolis burned, millions of Americans buy guns. I'm glad they're buying guns. I'm all for Second Amendment. Believe me, I am. I got enough to do me and four or five other people easy here. Well, more than that, actually. But nonetheless, I don't like to have seen buy them for this reason. It's increasingly clear to even the average American that if riots come to your neighborhood, you're on your own. The message received is increasingly can be this. If your plan is to wait until the police show up to provide protection, be prepared for a long wait. Consequently, as violence appears to surge in American cities, it means Americans have become first-time gun owners. There are two trends at work which are making American doubt government law enforcement is reliable and effective. On the one hand, the public is witnessing high nightly displays of looting, rioting, and general civil unrest. At the same time, many police officers don't appear particularly able or willing. Now, that's true and it's sad, to defend the public against looters and rioters. That's really true, Millie. They haven't showed a lot of gumption to do that. Of course, they've probably been told to stand down, obviously. We have people wanting to disband police departments, and I know there's violence in policemen. They're just people. They're bad people in every occupation there is. doctors, lawyers, policemen, makes no difference. But you can't call them all trash because a couple of them are trash. You get rid of the bad ones and keep the good ones. But now people are and I can understand that. I see this. I can't depend on a cop coming to defend my home when somebody's breaking through my front door. I don't have time. Does that make sense?
It does.
You know, I don't ever want to point a gun at somebody to shoot them. I don't. But I'm prepared to if I have to.
Well,
I don't think anybody in their right mind wants to harm somebody else.
Well, it's biblical. We have a lot of wackos out there, though.
Oh, we do. But it's biblical to defend your family. The Bible says if I don't defend my family, then I deny the faith and worse than infidel. So I have no choice. I must defend the family. Now, this is a little bit different topic here, but urgent requests sent to states to push for coronavirus vaccine delivery by November 1st. You probably saw that.
I did.
Trump wants it out by November 1st. They want to skip a bunch of tests. They don't worry about, you know, they don't have time to throw all these tests. The normal time is required to obtain these permits presents a significant barrier to the success of this urgent public health program. CDC urgently requests your assistance and expects to expediting application for the distribution facilities, he continued. If necessary, ask that you consider waiving requirements that would prevent these facilities from becoming fully operational by November 1st, 2020. The heck with the safety precautions. Just get it out there. You think that's a political move? And Trump says he said at first he didn't think they should be mandatory, and now he's the one pushing it.
Well, at first they weren't supposed to be mandatory. Then the military was going to disperse them, and then now we have a vaccine by November 1st.
And the state of Virginia passed a governor said they would in Virginia they will be mandatory in Virginia. I understand that the House and the state Senate are trying to stop that, but according to the governor of Virginia, they're going mandatory.
They are going mandatory.
Yes,
or they are not.
Yes, they are. They are. I said the House and the Senate are trying to stop that and make it not mandatory, but the governor says they're going mandatory.
In West Virginia.
We'll see. No, in Virginia.
In Virginia. Well, yeah, Virginia.
Yeah,
Virginia. Well, he's a nutcase anyway, the governor.
Oh, he is an absolute nutcase. No doubt about it. And a little bit of good news here. Court rules NSA phone snooping is illegal after a 7-year delay. Finally, they said the National Security Agency program, swept up details on Bean's Americans' phone calls was illegal, possibly unconstitutional. Do you reckon? So anyway, this started under Bush, of course, in the so-called Christian conservative back in, you know, Bush was in office. Started back, of course, after the so-called terrorist attacks in 2001, and that's when they started doing this to let the NSA spy on citizens' phones. So they stopped at least 4 terrorists out of millions and millions and millions, billions of phone calls. They finally stopped, I think, 3 or 4 terrorists in 2013. And nothing since then that they had the show. So I think it was a little bit overreach. And finally, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said the Roe was that was wrong, and they need to cut back on that. So that's a little bit of good news.
Yes.
So there you go.
It is. It is.
Now you got 2 minutes left. I'll let you wrap it up, seeing how it's your program.
2 minutes? You giving me 2 minutes?
2 whole minutes.
Wow. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. I believe it or not, I really do try to be positive, and I do have that little bit of hope. I keep thinking, you know, and then when I'm on the radio program, I'm looking at the things that, you know, just takes my little bit of hope, and it's like, that's not reality. You know, a high school friend, she's a huge Trump supporter, and she says, well, I'm just a Pollyanna. You know, and it's always, look at all the people that are being arrested, look at all for human trafficking and so forth and whatnot. It's like, well, you know, show me the people's names, where are they going to print, where are the court cases, I want to see the number, I need proof of that. And
yes.
And so, you know, a lot of things are going on, but if you can't find any proof or even, you know, something else to support, and it comes from some dark web or whatever, it's like, So it's good to be positive, but you still have to look at the truth of the matter and look at the numbers and look at these things that are happening. You just can't blindly go and hope. I wish we could, Butch. Maybe that's a place where I would like to be. But
well, what's old saying? Ignorance is bliss for a season.
Yeah.
You know, once you lose your ignorance, you can't ever get it back. Once you see the truth, you can't ever get back to where you were naive. And that may be sad, but it could save your life.
Yeah, exactly. So what we talk about really is positive.
It is positive.
That's how you have to look at it. Because with what we talk about gives you the ability to make those informed decisions on how you're going to plan for your future. And
right,
the
on.
Worst thing that you can do is just sit and wait and see what happens. You have to plan for your future. And one way, and yes, is gold and silver for your finances. Get the insurance policy. Get the wealth protection. Because we're going to have a lot more days like you saw today. We're going to have a lot more months like we saw in March. But we have short memories. Most people forgot what March was all about.
That's true.
We'll be back.
That's true.
Pardon? Yeah.
That's true.
We'll be back tomorrow. So is my 2 minutes up? Yes, it is.
2 minutes up, yep.
Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome.
We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.